superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'll tell you what, man.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I really don't know what's next for me, says Aaron Rodgers.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now.
Peter King.
Aaron Rodgers has 3 years left on his contract. Brian Gutekunst is just going to say, hey, listen, let's give this a month. Everybody just calm down.
Today's guests, Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians, Chargers head coach Brandon Staley, from NBC Sports, Michelle Tafoya, plus actor Aldis Hodge. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on the Tuesday after championship Sunday. We're going to be going crazy waiting for this Super Bowl 55 game. My name is Rich Eisen. That's the name of the program. Good to see you, Christopher Brockman, over there. How are you, brother?
Hey, bud. What's happening?
And Mike Del Tufo. Good to see you in your position. And TJ Jefferson settling himself into the chair after dead solid perfect putt to start our program.
Hey, Rich, I'd just like to let everyone know that I'm announcing my entry into the 2021 WWE Royal Rumble. So that's going
there
down.
There you go. Is that part of the Peacock synergy that the WWE is now part of the Peacock world?
Yeah, and so I figure, you know, if everyone's just announcing they're in the Royal Rumble, I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, people, is that what's happening? I'll be honest with you. Is that what's happening right now? Should I know this sort of thing?
Next week it's happening.
Is everybody in making that announcement right now?
Well, I mean, you have to be someone who feels like you have a chance to win it.
Okay.
You know, and otherwise, don't waste everyone's time.
Thank you very much.
By the way, happy birthday, Sasha Banks. See, you didn't know that one.
Look at you guys.
To the boss. Happy birthday to the boss.
I'm going
to
take control of this show over again, if that's all right.
Please do.
Is that okay, guys?
Have at it, Rich.
Welcome this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. LeBron James, that's what I want to talk about to start. Because Aaron Rodgers is still a member of the Green Bay Packers. Let's just start the program. He's there. Deshaun Watson's still in Houston. And we're waiting for the exit visas of Matthew Stafford. And we're waiting for the Super Bowl. So while that's all going down, I'd like to start with LeBron. And because we're rightfully feting Tom Brady in the world of football at age 43. What he is doing is insane, and the way that Brady's doing it, and the way that he did it yesterday, is one of the reasons why, as I pointed out on yesterday's show, that there's such hard feelings for Aaron Rodgers, that Brady comes into his house with his new team in his new situation at age 43 after 20 years of doing it the same way, and he deciding, you know what, before my window of opportunity closes, I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to start fresh and I'm going to get a whole bunch of players around me that I'm all in on, and the team is clearly all in on me because they're getting all these players around me. And Aaron Rodgers is seeing Brady doing it the way that he's doing it and probably thinking to himself, maybe I need to start thinking about doing it a different way also. And Brady is just at the top of his game, age 43, and Rodgers is probably sitting there watching that, maybe a bit of wanderlust that he's not going to be able to take advantage of right now because of his contractual status. And the Green Bay Packers have already chimed in on it, and Mark Murphy, the president of the team, saying that Rodgers is their guy, he's going to be their quarterback next year. Quote, unquote, we're not stupid, is what he said. So the reason why I bring all that up is Rodgers is looking at Brady and thinking all about all these things. And also, he's, you know, based on the way Brady's doing it, and Rodgers could you know, have an AR-12 system, I'm sure. He's got 6 more years to go. So he could find a new spot and have a lot of good years still to go right there. But it is still rare to see somebody play that long. And Drew Brees at age 41, clearly being on the verge of retirement, shows you how the windows of opportunities can open and close. But what LeBron James is doing at age 36 right now, having just won the championship last year at age 35, he turned 36 in December. What he's doing right now is off the charts. Amazing. It truly is amazing what he's doing. And sure, we are talking about his 46-point performance last night in Cleveland, his only stop of his in his hometown, being a Western Conference player now, and how it's special for him to be there, and it's very special for him to play well there and show up and show out. And normally it would be for the fans, and obviously that's not a full arena he's playing in front of now because of the pandemic. But at age 36, to put up 46, including 21 in the fourth quarter, going 9 of 10 from the floor with 2 steals and 2 assists and 2 blocks, outscoring the Cavaliers personally in the fourth quarter, 21-19, to close out a plucky team that did, in fact, as we all know, on that very floor last week, defeat the Nets in their first game with Durant, Harden, and Kyrie on the floor. But the most important statistic for me, for LeBron James, that he's got going for him right now, he's 18 for 18 in games played. Look, I'm paying a little bit more attention to it, admittedly, because we have our fantasy league, right? This year, the Rich Eisen Show Fantasy League.
Absolutely.
We've got a whole bunch of all of us, minus Del Tufo on the air, is in this league. I won't mention where everyone is on the standings, just out of respect for you, TJ, even though I guess just did kind of mention it.
Wow.
DFL TJ sitting in the corner right there. Every single show on NBC Sports on Peacock has some form of representation. McLovin for Dan Patrick's show, Holly and Smith of Brother from Another, which we'll take you to every day here. We even reached out to Florio. And when I say that, not because Florio's not worthy of being reached out to, but you don't associate basketball with him.
Exactly. Football guy.
And I think he has his son operating the team.
Correct.
He's handed it off to his son operating his team. And his son, I think, is handing things off to the basketball fantasy version of Jack Easterby, because it's just there's a lot of questions going on with his team as well. Hi, Mike. But the reason why I bring all this up is I'm a lot more attuned to the rest of the league and who's playing and who's not. Because I'm not only paying attention to this league, and I'm not only paying attention to the league as a whole, because that's my job to do it, but my two sons are in fantasy leagues. I'm noticing who's playing and who's not. And the number of superstars on his level who have played every game, who have not had the tweak back or the tweak knee or the foot or the shoulder or all of that, that is potentially something that these players are dealing with and getting nicked up, or just load management dressed up in other clothing because you can't load manage anymore based on the NBA. We're seeing a heck of a lot of guys, including Joel Embiid last night, making a great case for his MVP run this year by not playing. You could see they're a different team without him, because they do play tonight, do they not? The Philadelphia 76ers. You see in front ends, back ends, sitting down. LeBron is answering the bell every single time. And he's playing every possible minute he can play. And he's not at all showing a single moment of wear and tear. None. He's getting stronger. It's amazing what he's doing. And he's answering the bell. And it's not like, well, for the fans, this, that, the other thing that are in the stands, that he's LeBron James, he's got to play. He's playing every game. Leads the team in minutes played. You know, it's one thing for Harrell to play all 18 games and Kuzma to play all the 18 games, which they're doing. But LeBron's playing all 18 games. He's 18 for 18 in games played this year in a pandemic without a bubble. And to that, I say that to me is the most impressive. The most impressive. And he's also doing it in a way where It's a pride thing. It's a pride thing. We've seen the video. You've seen the video on your Twitter feed. You've seen the video either on SportsCenter or wherever you take in your highlights. You see the video of him missing the shot at the buzzer at the third quarter last night and him just sort of looking over his shoulder. He's walking down the court and he looks at somebody, kind of gives him a look and he nods his head like, okay. Apparently, that was a team executive for the Cleveland Cavaliers, who has since been identified as Jason Hillman, who's the Cavs basketball chief of staff.
Uh-oh.
The Ronald Klain of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not many athletes these days will take anything as the old Jordan slight. Not many athletes will take anybody as the yes. I will mention his name for the first of many times here today. Kobe Bryant slight. The old Mamba mentality. And LeBron was clearly thinking of Kobe last night as he, in his fourth quarter dominance, made a three from the corner and hopped on one leg as it was in the air and goes through the net, just like Kobe did. It was last night, 1 year to the day, that LeBron passed Kobe Bryant on the all-time scoring list to become the third all-time leading scorer in NBA history. That was the one-year anniversary of that last night, which means, as many of us know, today is the one-year anniversary of Kobe's death and his beautiful daughter, Gianna. It was 1 year ago today on this crisp, clear, cold Los Angeles day. It's in the high 40s, low 50s, which for all of us here might as well be the Arctic Circle.
It's cold.
Okay. So it was 1 year ago today I woke up to go to the airport to fly off to South Florida for Super Bowl 54. And I remember looking out the window, and I could not see more than truly 20 feet outside my window. It was a very foggy day, and I thought to myself, I need to go online and see, is my flight taken off? Should I go to the airport even? Is my flight delayed? Because I don't know how the hell my plane's going to take off in this pea soup. Literally was my first thought when I looked out the window. Go to the airport because everything is, in fact, ready to go for the flight. It is not delayed. It is not canceled. I get to the airport, getting ready to board, and every single person that's in the terminal near the gate looks at their phone. Truly, almost all at the same time. There are a lot of buzzes, a lot of beeps, a lot of something. And I thought to myself, what's going on? And it was a text for me from a member of NFL Network. It's our buddy Charlie Yook, who is the, as he calls himself, the King of Spring. He's in charge of all of the programming that has to do with the non-playing season, like the combine and the draft that's coming up. At any rate, he's like, Kobe, oh no. The rest of the terminal starts looking down at their phones and then gets on the phone to call a loved one to see if it's true. Turn on the TV. Is it possible? Could TMZ be wrong? All the 21st century stuff that you think of when you get news that just is so horrifying to see on your phone or learn about and hope is not true. It was 1 year ago today that we lost Kobe Bryant. And I remember all week long in South Florida, Chris, you remember you were there. All of us were there for our week-long coverage of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between the Chiefs and Niners. Nobody could believe it. Nobody could believe that somebody who would look down any type of adversity, any type of sneak attack on his well-being or way of living and stare it down. He would stare it down and beat it, that he could be taken so quickly. And with his daughter too. then you sit there and you just think to yourself about the seconds, the final. I'm honestly, it's all just coming back to me right now. You think about how those seconds went, and his daughter's there, and other people and children are in there, and that helicopter that he was taking to go coach his daughter's basketball team. It's just so unfair, so awful, so dreadful. And there's no doubt in my mind that was in LeBron's mind last night. And I just, you know, can't believe it's been a year. It's been a full year. Honestly, sometimes I think I just sometimes think we're going to see a Kobe tweet about, you know, hey, congratulating the Lakers on winning the championship, or talking about something that is going on with the NBA, or obviously what he was doing at the time, building a company to be an entertainment extension of his brand. It's just unbelievable that he's gone.
I just think about the 25th, the day before, was kind of the last normal day, I think. Especially for me.
Pre-pandemic and everything like that?
Yeah, because there's no COVID. It's not really a thing in the United States yet. We had just got to Miami for the Super Bowl. We're looking forward to what an amazing week that was going to be. Two new teams in that game that we haven't seen in a while, the Chiefs and the 49ers. And I think about my son being a month away from being born. And none of the political stuff, none of the social unrest. It was just a Saturday, and TJ and I went and had dinner. We're talking about how great the week is going to be, and then the next day we have our tech rehearsal on our amazing set down in Miami for our Super Bowl week, our last with AT&T and an audience, and we're just walking to go get our credentials.
And then you found out.
And then we found out. And then everything since then in the last year has just been
upside down.
It's been upside down.
Well, I guess just the one thing I want to say here, because we will talk about Kobe with Michelle Tafoya, who has a podcast where she does a deep dive on a single subject. And in advance of today's one-year anniversary, she spoke to a bunch of people in Kobe's life. She'll join us. I just want to say here to everybody, carpe diem, right? Live and seize the day.
Absolutely.
Seize the day and tell everyone in your life that you love you. Check on people that you haven't checked on in a while if you can. And that's just a first thought I had today when I woke up. And I'm like, well, I'm going to talk about Kobe today. We're going to talk about Kobe today and think about it. And in terms of, you know, living the moment, we do have the Super Bowl coming up. And it's in Tampa, Florida. And the coach of the first team to make the Super Bowl in their home stadium is going to be joining us in a few minutes' time. Longtime friend of the program, Bruce Arians. He's on a podcast once upon a time, and I want to ask him about that. On our podcast, he told us the story about how he got hired by the Indianapolis Colts after the Steelers said he was retired.
They put him out the
bathroom.
He
was driving with his wife down to Florida with a lot of their belongings, and the phone rang, and it was Chuck Pagano. And I can't believe that now that phone call has led to this moment. And then somebody whose career is just beginning as a head coach in the league, right up the road here where the next Super Bowl is going to be. Brandon Staley, the head coach of the Chargers, is going to join us. Michelle Tafoya, top of hour number three. And the actor Aldis Hodge, who's playing Jim Brown in this dynamite new movie on Amazon called One Night in Miami with a ton of Oscar buzz. And you at 844-204-RICH. When we come back, BA of TB, coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back here now. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris, you've got a poll question over there. Let's sit on that for the moment.
It's out, but we'll wait.
Okay, well, what is it? What do you got?
You open the show with LeBron.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Bruce Arians in a minute. We've all seen what Tom Brady has done.
Okay.
Who are you more impressed with? Who's more impressive doing what they're doing?
Yes.
At their age.
Okay.
Tom Brady.
Yes.
LeBron James.
There you go. Straight up.
Just straight up.
Look at you with just a two-person. Normally you like filling it up.
Straight up. I like filling it out, but I mean, who else would really?
I guess Tiger might be
fit
in
the
there.
Criteria.
Your guy Tiger.
I know I love Tiger, but he's, you know,
it's been a year since he's won the
jacket. It's been a while, and he's out.
Okay.
For a couple of months.
I think it's just the.
Let's just go for
it. The recency bias.
Yeah, let's just go for it.
Wins the day. At Rich Eisen Show. I'll hit it with a retweet once I'm done talking to Bruce Arians. Is he on the phone?
You.
Is he on the phone,
oh,
Christopher?
He is.
He is the head coach of the home team in Super Bowl 55. He is none other than Bruce Arians. Is this the coach of the NFC champion Buccaneers here on the Rich Eisen Show?
How you doing, Rich?
How are you, Bruce? How's life?
If any better, I have to be twins.
Where'd you pick that one up? Where'd that one come from? I love that line.
Oh, that's way, way back. Way, way back.
now, obviously, there's another game to go here, so I'll front load my line of questioning to start off this conversation with. Understood that there's one more piece for you to add to this run here, but what does it mean for you to be in this Super Bowl, Bruce Arians?
Oh gosh, it's you know, it's a dream come true. When you start putting football teams together, and I can't say enough about Jason Light and the job he's done. But when we start putting this thing together, you know, we thought we had a chance. And then, you know, no spring practice, no OTAs, and to get here, it's been an incredible job by a bunch of good coaches and great staff and really, really good players.
Well, in terms of that staff, last time I saw you in person in this studio is when you were a broadcaster with CBS in the booth and you were toying with the idea of coming back. And you said that you would not go back to coaching without somebody that you trusted as a play caller because of the health concerns, that the stress that it would add to you to coach and call plays. So let's pound the table for Byron Leftwich here and what he's done with this offense that the last time we did speak, we were wondering when things might get to a level of comfort that clearly hit in the last quarter of the season.
Yeah, I can't say enough about the job he's done. I mean, it's just remarkable. You know, Tom is such a great, great player, but having left that system after 20 years, and ours is a lot different, how we do things. And Byron's been the middle guy that's just done all the work. And, I mean, people give me way too much credit because I don't really. He does it all, and he calls the plays. And I'm really, really upset he didn't get a head coaching interview.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. Why do both offensive coordinators in this game, you could say that for, couldn't you, Bruce?
Well, Eric's got his interviews. You know, once you get the interview, it's your job to get the job. But Byron didn't even get a call. And I think people give Tom Brady and Bruce Arians way too much credit and not enough credit for Byron Leftwich.
Well, I guess I brought Eric into this because he's been still searching for a job despite being the defending champion offensive coordinator. Obviously, yeah, he has gotten those interviews. Is there something about this with Byron and Eric and other people of color, do you think, on this subject, Coach?
Yeah, I think the opportunities have to, you have to be able to get in front of people to get a job. And, you know, Ty Bowles rightfully so had his share this year.
Yep.
And, but Byron did not, and I was a little bit upset about that.
Okay. Well, now you're in the Super Bowl with him, right? When did things click?
Yes, indeed.
Because, again, last time you were on this call, you called this show, Coach. And I said, when do you think things are going to be comfortable for Brady in this offense? And you kind of joked in a way, spring, next spring. But it seemed that after your bye week, things really began to click in. Is that when it happened? Was there earlier in the season when you're like, okay, even though the wins haven't really come with regularity yet, this is on the straight and narrow? Anything like that?
I really saw it starting in the second half against Kansas City. And then the open day, things really solidified, and we got on that run. And, you know, my wife made a comment, this team really reminds me of the Steelers when we went to Detroit in the Super Bowl. They're so close, and there's so many similarities. It's really remarkable. 7-5, have to win them all, and then go on the road and win them all. And that team was probably the closest group of guys I've ever been a part of until this group.
Well, obviously, your wife's been along for the ride for quite some time. What did she see in it? What did she see that here are your Super Bowl 55, Super Bowl 40s champions with the bus and you at the OC controls there? What did she see this year that you agreed with?
The camaraderie on the sidelines. You know how this team pulls for each other, and each offense might pull out, the defense, special teams might pull out, everybody, defense pulls out the offense. Everybody just having so much fun doing it, but being really, really close.
And now here you are in the Super Bowl. Let's, if you don't mind, get into a little bit of the NFC Championship game. Walk me through the process of sending Tom Brady back on the field for a 4th-and-3 conversion at the end of the first half. How did that all come about?
Well, I had to calm myself down from being so pissed that we didn't make the first down. And so I just followed the punt team. And then, you know, it's like, as I started thinking about it, we cannot come out of this drive, get this turnover and not get points. So just went through a couple, called a timeout, went through a couple of scenarios. I think at the worst, if it just, they might get 3 points out of this, but we'd still have the lead, and it's worth the risk to go after the points.
So now you went after the first down first, and then the play that actually led to the points. Honestly, I'm sitting there at home. I'm thinking, okay, just maybe a quick pass here, get suck up a little bit closer, and you got yourself a touchdown lead going into halftime. Where did going for the whole damn shooting match come from, Bruce? Where was that one?
Because I thought Byron had a great idea. That's exactly what they're thinking, and that they would be sitting in the short stick area of field goal range, and let's go for the touchdown.
And is that the conversation? Brady's in that huddle too, and you all look at each other and said, let's do it? Is that how that worked? Or was he already on the field?
He was out on the field. You know, he did a great job of completing that ball to Leonard. And then, you know, Byron and I just looked at each other, and he said, how about this? I said, love it, man. I love it.
You know what? I'm sitting there. I'm thinking to myself, we know, Bruce Arians, your phrase of no risk it, no biscuit, and we've heard it for so long, and we've seen you put it into practice. But never, I think – this is it. Like, if anybody's wondering, what does that phrase mean? Why does he come up with that? How has he ever put it into practice? That play call, that execution at that moment in time to give you an 11-point lead and send the home team to their locker room with a soul-crushing touchdown that they gave up, that has to be it, right? That's the personification of your phrase, Bruce, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's how we live life, brother.
And you actually put it in the end zone. And Brady must love it, right? I mean, what was that like in the locker room after that? What was that like?
Oh, he was, yeah, halftime locker room was, you know, everybody was beaming as, hey, well, we got 30 more minutes to go, and, you know, let's live in the moment, not get ahead of ourselves. So it was great. Yeah, I think, you know, Tom and Byron's personality, mission, we're all just getting on the same page of just attack, attack, attack.
And now let's smash cut Coach Bruce Arians of the NFC champion Buccaneers here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's smash cut now to a 4th and 8 late in the game. You have an 8-point lead, and you see the Green Bay Packers field goal unit trot on the field and Aaron Rodgers come off. What did you think?
I actually thought it was a good call by Matt. I really did. With 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning, you could put all the pressure back on us to make those first downs, and they would have good field position to get a touchdown. So I don't think it was as bad a call as everybody's making it out. 3rd and 9 from the 4th and 9 from the 9 or 4th and 8 from the 8. That's not the easiest call in the world to make. So I thought strategically with all those timeouts, it was a good move.
But then you send Tom Brady on the field, Bruce. You know, you see what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, Tyler Johnson makes a great catch.
What hell of a pass that was! That pitch and catch. That pitch and catch. I mean, Brady threw it in a window that was basically the size of Tyler's shin, right? And that was a hell of a grab that he had in that one.
Yeah, he goes down. That kid's got an unbelievable future. And then the pass. Everybody bitches about that call, but I mean, it was Ray Charles can make that call.
So, okay. So, but what is it like to send Bruce Arians? What is it like to send Brady out on the field, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you got the ball back, but that's got to be a sensation. You've had some incredible quarterbacks you've sent out on the field to call that you've called plays for, but now you're the HC of TB12, right?
It's a very, very comforting feeling. Very, very comforting.
All right, let's get to now, on the few minutes I have left with you, the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 55. Last time you met Kansas City, and you said that you got a sense, certainly in that game, that the offense got on track. But, you know, we all know Tyreek Hill had the first quarter of the ages. How are you approaching the rematch here, Bruce?
Yeah, I mean, we learned a lot of things from that game, what not to do, what to do, and I think, you know, we're very excited about playing. We know the challenge of trying to stop that three-headed monster they got of Kelsey and Hill and Patrick. But I like where our football team is now compared to then. And we'll learn a lot from that ball game. And unlike, you know, the Packer game before, the Saints games before, this one does matter.
And what's your relationship with Andy Reid? Again, I know you're from different coaching trees, but how far back do you go with him, or any relationship at all with Andy, Bruce?
Yeah, great respect, and you know, we never really crossed paths coaching much,
right,
other than being across from each other, and just total mutual respect. I love what he does. I think he's one of the most innovative people to ever play coaching this game.
All right. And, you know, much is being made, and rightfully so, that you are the first team to ever play in your own stadium for the Super Bowl. How does this work? I imagine if there wasn't a pandemic that everybody could stay at home, is that the way it is still going to go? Or are you going to hotel up, bubble up? What's the situation for you over the next couple of days here, Coach?
We're going to stay like a normal home game. And treat it like a home game until, 48 hours before the ball game.
So it's just like any old regular week. It's just, you know, the Lombardi Trophy's on the line is basically what you're saying at the end of the day.
Yeah, come get tested, go to work, and go home. Go back to work, go home.
Well, that's got to be a monumental, monumental advantage or help. Let's put it that way instead of using the word advantage. Just a comfort level for you to be able to do that.
I think it would have been had both teams had to come in on Monday. But, you know, Chiefs get to stay home until Saturday night. This is an away game for them.
Mm-hmm.
They get their normal routine. So that part of it isn't as big of an advantage other than if we don't have to get on an airplane.
Okay. So I guess to wrap this up, Coach, and again, I appreciate the time, the two Tuesdays before the Super Bowl. You know, while we're on the subject that you mentioned before of your wife, Christine, one of the first times I ever interviewed you when you were on my podcast, darn near 10 years ago, it seemed, is when you said that you and your wife were packed up, heading home from Pittsburgh after your retirement, and I'll put that in air quotes here, and the phone rang, right? Isn't that correct? The phone rang from, who was that calling you up that day? Was Chuck Pagano calling you up that day?
That was Chuck Pagano. Yeah, Chuck gave us that call, and she looked at me and goes, oh, you're going to do this again.
And you did go and be the offensive coordinator for Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis and wound up winning Coach of the Year there and then again in Arizona. What if I had told you when you answered that phone that you and I would be having this conversation today and you're the NFC champion head coach getting set to coach Tom Brady in a home Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You would have told me what on that day, Bruce?
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
So you weren't driving then, is what you're saying, that car, right?
No, I was a passenger at that time.
Okay, good. It's amazing life, isn't it, Bruce? Life is amazing, isn't it? Journeys and things
like that. It's really crazy. It's really crazy, brother. I mean, we're so blessed, and every day is an adventure.
Coach,
live it to its fullest.
There you go. Carpe diem, right? Congrats on the win. Congrats on the Super Bowl appearance. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. And I hope nothing but the best for you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
Right back at you. That's the one and only BA, as people refer to him, Bruce Arians of the NFC champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good stuff right there.
That was awesome.
Hey, you know, later on this week, I will give you, this is what I do for our Peacock audience. This is our first Super Bowl rodeo on NBC Sports on Peacock.
All right.
Each of the previous 6 years that we've covered the Super Bowl, I give you the top 10 storylines that you will hear for the Super Bowl week.
I love this.
I front load it. And, you know, some, however, continue as the same. And the head coaches are going to be a storyline. And Andy Reid, we went through all the storylines last year. And what Andy Reid's storyline this year is going to be, I'll just let you know. Hall of Fame is on the line for him. In many people's minds. I think he's made it already, personally.
I agree with you.
But that's on the line. That when a coach wins two of them, that puts him in line for it. And I know there are some people out there go, oh, yeah, well, then what about Tom Coughlin? How come it took so damn long for Tom Flores to get a call? Okay?
Valid.
And so, you know, put it all together, you'll hear about Reed. Bruce Arians now. Bruce Arians' football life is just absolutely, you know, dynamite, right? You know, Bruce Arians' football life is something else, and we'll take a break and I'll come back and get to it. Blackhawks and Predators, by the way, Wednesday night hockey on NBCSN, 7:30 Eastern time. Check it all out on NBCSN. We'll be back with more right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock and more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So I just can't say enough about Bruce Arians, and we're going to hear quite a bit about him next week and his football life. There is a football life that was done on him by NFL Network and NFL Films because he is a football lifer. Football lifer. Man who's coached at Temple, part of the Bear Bryant coaching tree. Like his wow. his roots go back to Bear Bryant.
That's crazy.
Okay. So there's that. And then the coordinator for Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, the coordinator for Big Ben in Super Bowl 40. And there will be in the Steelers organization should buckle up. He's not going to make a big deal of it. He didn't right there. I mean, he could absolutely spike a football. But after that run in Pittsburgh, the initial run with Roethlisberger in that Super Bowl, right? And, you know, he was retired. He was retired. Ken Wisenhunt took over, and they made the Super Bowl, you know. But he was retired by the Steelers. They said he was retiring, if you remember that, right?
That's so crazy.
And that was that. He was retired and no longer wanting to coach football anymore until on his drive home, he gets a call from Chuck Pagano saying, how'd you like to go be my offensive coordinator? And he was Andrew Luck's guy. And then Pagano got sick. Yep. And Bruce Arians has the rare line on his coaching resume, one coach of the year as an interim head coach. That happened.
Unreal.
Right? So, again, Arians was the coordinator calling the plays for the championship Steelers. If I'm not mistaken, in Tampa, in the building. Against Wisenhunt, who was the coach of the Cardinals on that night. And then he was retired. Kind of crazy, man. And he took that phone call on the way home. And now here he is, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that building as the first head coach to coach a Super Bowl team in their home building. Can't make it up. Arian's storyline is going to be quite a bit. And then there's another storyline. Again, I'm going to put it all out there.
Are we doing this tomorrow?
I don't know. It's sometime later this week. Okay. Usually it's the end of the week before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But one I want to hit you on right now, Christopher. The same way that the Steelers organization is going to have to buckle up. Again, Arian's not going to make a big deal of it, but it will be brought up. Interesting how he was retired. And there will be some member of the media in a Zoom from overseas that will probably Google the fact that he was retired or retiring and even ask him a question point blank. Hey, what made you want to keep coaching after you retired? And Arians might assume that it was mentioned retirement after he retired from the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. No, when you retired from the Steelers, someone will see that language in a story and bring it up to Arians, and he'll make fun of it.
Right.
I guarantee that will happen next week. If this was a regular media day where there were 1,000 people coming in and all you needed to do is essentially fog up a mirror and not have an arrest rap sheet, you get into the media night, right?
Yeah.
Arians would be asked that question at some point.
That would be a fun night, too, with this group.
Right. But at any rate, that'll be brought up at some point. But you know who needs to buckle up next week? Yes, sir. You and the rest of Patriot Nation.
Yeah.
You and the rest of Patriot Nation that Brady's back in it with Gronk. I haven't asked you about this yet. We've got a little bit of real estate. Not to turn all Dr. Melfi on you, Christopher.
Right now?
How's it hitting you in New England? New England fandom. How's it hitting you that Brady's as good as ever again and that he's with Gronk again? They made that video. You pointed out to me that they made the same video
same
as the
video.
Last time they were back.
With the Diddy song. I think for me personally, yeah. I mean, I don't want to speak for, you know, Sully and Fitz and those guys, but I just think for me personally, it's cool. I like Tom. And so And I like Gronk. Gronk, the way he kind of left was a little bit of a bummer because he did it kind of after free agency, so they couldn't really replace the position. And then you kind of saw how that trickled down to the rest of the Pats skill position guys in the years after. Especially in 2019, like Tom didn't really have any great player, you know, nobody great outside of Edelman to really throw to. But it's cool. It's amazing. He's the greatest of all time. And it's cool to kind of see him play well with great players. And in a weird way, I kind of side with Bill on this point. They really sold out the years before to try to win Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And holy smokes, they won three of them. Like, they had a second dynasty with the same guy, which will never happen again. So, you know, it was over. You're kind of bummed because Tom wanted to stay. They couldn't come up with a few extra million bucks. Like, that's a little disappointing.
You think he really wanted to stay? I really think it was...
I think if they could have got the guys, if they could have traded for Larry Fitzgerald or, like, just some good... Made the Antonio Brown thing work out. You know, Gronk might have taken a year off and came back to New England if there were the guys around. And Tom looked at Tampa and said, hey... Pro Bowler.
Of course.
You got one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there.
And a coach that I kind of dig.
And a coach that's just going to, you know, let me kind of do my thing. Whereas we all know in New England, Tom's just another guy, according to Bill.
Because, again, the storyline we're going to hear, and by the way, these conversations I'm also using to sort of sound out my top 10 storylines later on. You're going to hear the whole Brady Belichick thing and who's, but it lasted 20 years. You got two decades, all those yachts from it. And I'm wondering if that softens the landing
or the fact
again that they're doing it again and it could have been for you, but there were circumstances and the roster wasn't the same. It's not really apples to apples. But it is still happening.
It's still happening. But
and one thing I'm already seeing right now, too, is there are a lot of people rooting for Brady.
Yeah, I think so because
they still can't stand Bill, which is an unfair. And you're one of them over there.
I love Tom Brady right now.
You know, Giants fans and everybody who still can't stand Belichick. That they're like Brady. That they're rooting for him, even though he's the one who's beaten their brains in. And that's the thing, too.
Yeah.
That I can't believe we're seeing again, all right, is all these people that he's beaten in his career. I saw a list of it, all the quarterbacks he's beaten in his career in the postseason. Do you know which quarterback he's beaten the most in his postseason career?
Yeah, I saw this list, too, the other day.
Phillip Rivers. Yeah. He beat Phil three times.
Yeah.
He's beaten a handful twice, and then he's been an equal opportunity abuser. The first quarterback he got was Gannon.
Yeah.
You know, who Albert Breer pointed out is 30 years older than Mahomes, who is the latest one he's going to be playing against. That's how long Brady's been at it. But that's the thing, too, is the number, and you see that list of everybody, all his pelts on the wall, the people who he's prevented from going and getting theirs. While he continues to get more of his. That's why I said yesterday his legacy is too much is never enough.
It's like playing hoops in the Jordan era. Like all those great Hall of Famers in the 90s.
Right.
Never got a chance because Mike was in the way.
And all the people that Tiger stood in the way of. Yeah. You know, Chris DeMarco could have gotten one, you know. Give him one shot. So put it all together. And the fact that he's doing it again, okay, that in his latest run, you can't even say it's his final one, right? At age 43, his latest run, he's retired Breeze, and he's put Rodgers in such a funk that the Packers are wondering what the hell their future is all of a sudden. And it's obviously a team effort, but it's Brady doing it again. And if he wins his seventh, I can't believe I'm saying these words. If he wins his seventh, he'll have gone through Breeze, Rodgers, and Mahomes. What better three can you send his direction right. this year?
Right.
And if you want to throw a Taylor Heineke on top of it, throw him too.
Why not?
A Heineke on top of this Sunday.
Yeah, why not?
Can't believe it. We're seeing it again. That's why I'm asking you if you can't
believe
it.
That's why I just kind of want to enjoy it instead of being angry.
Sit back and enjoy the ride. Hour number two for our radio audience. This man, Brandon Staley, the new HC of the LAC, coming up.